Blog Talk Radio.
Come on now.
The Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in His presence and my spirit starts to soar. Flying, I'm mounting up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father clear all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust Him in me, but when things get worse, my hope in You, my strength is in You. I don't know a little more about You. How the world changed and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boys, young girls trying to save yours, but who will teach them when the whole ones won't go? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. When I'm down in my spirit and I need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation, turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek after the spirit, so I'm a spirit for man, and if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of this body man, this tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is You, my strength is You. I want to know a little more about You. As the world changes and try to take me from You. Money, relationship, air pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girl, trying to save joy. But who will teach them when the whole ones won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by You. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a fleshly world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't hear another preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, hope is in You. My friend is in You. But teach me how to know a little more. I humble myself before you. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh, my hope is in You. My strength is in You. Teach me how to know a little more about You. Jesus, I humble myself before You. Yes, I humble myself before You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You.
Many roads right there before me. Looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know He's leading me. Took 5 steps forward, but lost 10 steps because of me. I made a decision that my life is gonna be about God. I may not be famous, cause I wanna sing a righteous song. Don't worry about me, my problems won't be money. It's
better to please God than having everyone bowing at my feet. So I'm going down on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free. I feel free. I feel free. When you're in my life, Lord, I feel free. Feel free. I feel free. Back in the days, righteousness was thou shalt not. But now in these days we sing, and now it's hard to stop. You got your breakthrough, but few days later you're back. Because you didn't feed your spirit and flesh was all you got. I made a decision, I gotta lose some of my friends. Change my number, that life has come to an end. Can't listen no more to those songs that's fighting against my spirit. I'm walking away, and I'm not looking back.
Good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, Brother Mike, and it is truly a pleasure to be here once again with you who are out there listening worldwide to Live Deliverance here on blogtalk.com. We would like to thank our sponsors for tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Witherspoon, Reverend Montgomery, Reverend Jackson, Reverend Walker, Reverend Carmichael, Reverend Dotson, Reverend Phillips, Reverend A.D. Jackson, and Reverend Hightower. Also, we have 9 other churches who are in attendance and listening to this broadcast as well. We would like to thank you for tuning in and taking part of this teaching as well. Before we get started, let me go ahead and give you the title for the teaching tonight. The title is What to Do When Things Are Going Wrong, and that's going to be presented by Brother Emmett Overton. But before we get started with that, we're going to go ahead and give space and time for Pastor John Durden. He has a few shout-outs for a couple of his pastoral friends. And then after that, the next voice that you will hear will be that of Apostle Emmett Overton. And what to do when things are going wrong. Brother John, you have the mic.
Good evening, everyone. Again, this is Brother John. I just want to give a shout out to a couple of fellow pastors of mine. That would be Pastor Hawkins. Good afternoon to you, good brother, and Brother Guntry, and Brother Hill, and Brother Taylor, and Brother Smith. I know you're going to enjoy the session, and it's good to know you guys and know that you're still plugging in, hanging in there with the Lord. God bless each one of you, and hope someday I get to know you guys personally. Be good, and God bless.
Amen. All right. Let's get a quick sound check here. Brother Emmett, can you hear me?
Okay, sound check, testing one. Brother Mike, can you hear me? And I can hear Brother John good, too.
Yes, sir. I got you both loud and clear.
Amen, 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 amen.
All right. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get started. What to do when things are going wrong?
I want to thank all of you who are participating tonight here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. And I want to get ready to hit this button so I can record. And once I'm able to record, I just hit the wrong button by mistake. Okay, we are streaming live at livedeliverance.com. I want to thank all of you who have listened to us. We're on a lot of channels tonight. We're at www.livedeliverance.com. Go to where it says stream, live stream. That's on our radio, internet radio stations. You can go through that and watch us, or go to where it says YouTube, or you can watch us on YouTube, and you can participate at area code 646-378-1857. And we're talking about what to do when things is going wrong in your life. There are many calamities and many situations that people get themselves involved in, and they don't really know what to do. I'm in a situation where I have to pray, and we need to learn how to hear God. And sometimes when we're in a bad situation, we begin to panic. And that's just what the enemy would love for you to do, is to panic and to put you in a position where you are moved out of the place of God and the area where God can talk to you. You moved away from the imagination of your mind. Oh, boy. See, when our mind... Hang on, the Lord, give me a scripture. Our mind starts wondering when things are going wrong. You're going to kick in your human ability to survive. And that's not good, because we make the wrong decisions. So this teaching will teach you how and what to do when things are going wrong. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Come, Holy Spirit, use me as your oracle, and we ask that the power of God penetrate the hearer. We come up against any spirit that would try to hinder the hearer from hearing this, and we come up against Satan that would try to take the word out of their heart immediately, based on Mark 4:15. Yet Michael the archangel, when contempted about the body of Moses, does not rail any railing accusation against thee, but said, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. We rebuke you, and we ask that the angels come and encamp all of us wherever we are to protect us from all demonic forces. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, the first thing you need to do is catch your thoughts, the mind. Oh, boy. And when things go wrong, there's a lot of things can come into your thought pattern. And if you do not know how to cast those thoughts down, you're going to make the wrong decision. Everything that comes to our mind is not of God. Most is flesh and demons. God don't speak to a mind. He speaks to a spirit. And what we'll do is get into the survival mode, and then we're going to start thinking beastly. I call beastly thinking, totally away from God, surviving on your own thoughts, imaginations, ideas, and focus independent away from God, which through humanism will really get you in trouble. And a lot of us do that, and we don't need to do that. So you have to guard your mind when things are coming at you. You see how you don't know how to get this bill paid. Them demons going to say, well, go on, go borrow some money. Lady called me the other week. She was a prostitute all her life. She just got cleaned up and a whole year away from cocaine, and that thing demon hit her. And she didn't have enough word in her, and she didn't get a lot of spirits cast out of her. And she said, I got to make some money. And went and got what she did and started getting the fast money again and backslid. Well, what happened to her? The suggestion of thought is very powerful. And some of us having mortgage problems, we having marriage problems. There are some things you got to look in yourself. You may have a bill that needs to be paid. Some of you could be losing your home. There's a variety of things that's out there, and I don't really know what you're going through, but I pray to God that those things that I said, I wish that upon nobody. But if you are, there's a way to get out of it. If you're going through a divorce, or you're concentrating, you feel that you need to separate from your wife, you need to wait on God and really be still. And what we're going to do is look at some things to do as you wait on God. And also we're going to show you that you need to really fill your spirit up and get the spirit in you so that the Lord can minister to you. Most people can't hear God. And I'm not saying that as to be facetious or to be proudful. I want everyone to hear his spirit. And even with me, when times are crunching in, I can hear the spirit of God so accurate in certain times I can't. And I don't hear him every day, all day now. The Lord, when every time, it's like when I teach, he'll come and then he'll leave. Hey, wait a minute, I'm talking to you about a problem. I say, well, he don't want to talk to me. He know I know the word. So I can go to the word. I'm still communicating to him. And it's been hard for me with dealing with the ministry of deliverance, not getting enough sleep. People call me all times of night. We got fools casting out demons. Man, you guys would be surprised at the things that I have to go through. Then I have to study. Then I got a family. And then I got to raise a 17-year-old, make sure he stay right. I got a daughter here. It's a lot of responsibilities. 1,500 emails. What do I do? Well, I have to make sure I'm still and strengthened before I make any situation on this radio station or different with people, period. And you all need to do that. So let's look at the first thing. We need to shut down with the thoughts. The thoughts. This is where the enemy comes in. When you got a situation, stop trying to figure out what you're going to do. Now, if you can do that, you're not halfway there. You're at the starting point. We're talking about what to do when things is going wrong. You need to set your human thinking, how you're going to do this, how I'm going to do this, and then fear comes upon you. Loneliness creeps in. You don't want nobody to hurt you. You may be mad at your wife or your wife doing something or you done something in there that's making you get upset. Well, the devil's going to come into your mind and make sure that you don't hear God. Now, because you're going through something, that's good for the devil because that's his playground. The Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you're at your lowest, this is when he comes. And when he comes, he's going to come into your thought. He's going to come into your thought life. In Ezekiel 38:10, it says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. That demon said, like the demon told that young lady, go ahead on and sell some more. Get out there and sell that body. Go on and put you some jeans on and show that bottom back there and go on get in the street. And she was in Miami, Florida, and bam, she went right back in the streets. I called her. She went through the rehab to get the spirit of cocaine back out of her because she didn't have enough word. When times get hard, you can't call your pastor. You can't get a word from Hank Hanegraaff while he's asleep. You definitely ain't going to be able to call the prosperity pastors unless you done make sure you tithing over $2,000 a month even before you can talk to them. And sometimes the pastors are so busy that you have to make an appointment. So what you going to do? You're going to wait on God. Now, as these thoughts come pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding, you should know defensive strategies to combat this, but most people don't. What to do when things are going wrong? Well, you first need to shut down all the more crazy thoughts that the devil is really trying to attack you with. You know, the devil told me a couple of days, go on and kill yourself. Your family will be better. Just shoot yourself. Shoot yourself in the mouth and you get it over with. I heard that all day. bombarding. Bow. Why would he do that? That's the devil. So what if it's me? He don't care who you do it to. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You have to cast that down. So what to do when things is going wrong? If you're thinking to do something contrary to breaking the law just to make some money, don't do it. Then in 2 Corinthians 10:3 it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. You got to understand, these thoughts are not after the flesh. They're spiritual. They're trying to pull you away from reacting to God's word if you do know the word. And we'll show you some things to do, what to do when things is going wrong, so you don't have to be thinking the wrong thing and making the wrong decisions, because decisions that we make are very costly. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Christian warfare involves bringing all of our thoughts into alignment with Christ's will. Failure to do so will lead to immorality and spiritual death. This is what happened to that young lady. She called me. She said she was going through some deliverance. She got free of crack cocaine. And all of a sudden, them demons started talking to her. She ain't had no money. This woman used to have money every day. But she was a babe in Christ. And the thoughts just overwhelmed. I said, wait a minute. I know I can just go put some jeans on, hit this street, and bam. Miami Jackson, Northwest 36th Street. I know what that said. I used to, man, look, I know about Miami Jackson, Miami, Florida. When I was in the game, I used to be down there doing stupid things that the devil had me doing, put it like that. So she, the thoughts was too much over women. And that can happen to some of you. You may not go to prostitution, but you may, that demon said, go on, smoke that cigarette. Hell, pull one and relax. So you can figure out what to do. God ain't going to talk to you like that, but the devil will. Go get some liquor. Yeah, you ain't having sex with her. Go find you another woman and get you some. You'll be all right and ask God to forgive you. And go back home to your wife. You don't think the devil put that in men's mind or wife? Well, he ain't treating you right. You find somebody else on the side. Hell, he ain't going to know. The devil don't care nothing about us. And these thoughts that be coming, whether they're that extreme or not, I'm hoping that I'm getting your attention, because any thought that's not of God, any thought that's not of a good thought of something good is not God. Christian warfare involves bringing all of our thoughts into alignment with Christ's will. Failure to do so will lead to immorality and spiritual death. See Romans 6:16, 6:23, and Romans 8:13. Use the following four steps to bring your thoughts under Christ's lordship. Number one. Now, what to do when things is going wrong? The first thing you got to do is get a control of all that old crazy stuff talking to you. Number one, be aware that God knows every thought and that nothing is hidden from him. Understand that. That's in Psalms chapter 94, verse 11. That's in Psalms chapter 139, verse 2, verse 4, and verse 23 and 24. We will have to give an account to God for our thoughts as well as for our word and deed. That's deep. Ecclesiastes 12:4, Matthew 12:35-37, and Romans 14:12. Number two, be aware that the mind is a battleground. Some thoughts originated within us while others come directly from the enemy. And if you're in a situation where you need some money, or you're stuck or whatever, you cannot think anything that's opposite of the word of God and go act on it, because that's going to pull you after the will of God. To take captive every thought requires warfare against both our sinful nature and satanic forces. We have to study Ephesians 6:12-13, Matthew chapter 4:3-11. Stand fast and resist and reject evil and unwholesome thoughts in the name of the Lord Jesus. Philippians 4:8 reminds us that we are to believers to overcome our adversity by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and by the persuading saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the devil and to all temptation and sin. We're supposed to rebuke that. Now, Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever is a good report, think on those. And I know you may say, I'm going to think on a good report when I need some rent money. And that's going to come straight at you, something that's urgent with a time limit on it. Boy, the devil really gets you to start working with that. They're going to cut off my lights. Don't say that. Watch what you say. You're praying to God. You're trying to ask God to get you get something. You want to meet and align with his word so that you can. Be resolved by focusing your mind on Christ and heavenly things rather than on earthly things. See Philippians 3:19, Colossians 3:2. If you condition yourself in your spiritual man, so what to do when things is going wrong, you'll know what to do because you have the word of God in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You'll be able to speak in tongues, be offensively, and go through the battle and get the victory. Unfortunately, people don't know that. And they've been bombarded, and they don't know how to do it. So this is to show you what to do. For the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, Romans 8, 6, and 7. Fill your mind with God's word, Psalms 1:1 through 1:3, Psalms 19, 7 through 14, and Psalms 119. And with those things that are noble, excellent, and praiseworthy, think on those things, Philippians 4, 8. I know it's hard to do that, but while you're going through this trial, or you need something, you're going to have to use your faith. And wait on God. Always be careful what your eyes see and your ears hear. Let your eyes be an instrument for lust. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Start meditating on things that's not of God's word, and you're going to start figuring things out. That's going to get you in trouble. So you have to learn how to be still. And most of us don't know how to do that. In a serious situation where there's dry, you need bone dry answers. You need the power of God to either tell you what to do, how to do it. The first thing you need to position yourself is to be still. That's number two. We talked about the mind. We talked about the thoughts. We talked about Ezekiel 38:10, and then we went to 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5, and 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. Now we're going to show you why you're doing that. You still got to be still. Don't be hasting to do anything. Because when we do that, we really mess up. I'm still paying a price. 5 years ago, when I went to Jamaica, I went ahead of God. And the Lord did not tell me to sell my pickup. And to this day, I'm in a 1997 Ford Taurus GR. It got over 200,000 miles on it, but guess what? The Lord said, this is why you're riding in this, but I didn't tell you to do that. I paid a very heavy price. Going against God, you don't do that because you're going to pay. You're going to pay, and the devil wants you to pay. Being out of the timing of God is something that we don't need to do. We don't need to practice that. So let's work on some things so that we won't do that. In Psalms chapter 46, verse 10, the Bible says, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. What he's saying is, lift me up and praise me. Now, if you can't do that while you got a problem, you don't have no faith. I will be exalted in the earth. The Hebrew can also be translated let go, quiet, holding on to things that keep you from exalting God and giving him a proper place into your life. What I do when things are going real bad with me, I get a lot of Derek Prince in me. I just pump myself with the Derek Prince, and I begin to speak in tongues a lot. Now, if you got a situation that you don't know what to do, and you can pray through this, and you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I tell everybody this, most of the time when I pray, I don't pray, Lord, I need you to do this. I don't even pray like that. Because I found a way how to connect with God, and even in bad times or good times. The Bible tells us something, that we must pray continuously. Hang on. So many things the Lord shooting at me at the same time. Okay, Lord. Woo! Mm-hmm. Here you go. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Without ceasing does not mean to be consistent, utterly informal prayers. Rather, it implies recurrent prayers. God's conversation in our hearts of all kinds and of all occasions throughout the day. Conversations and longings such as happiness naturally with those of the focus on Christ. Talk to him all the time. Communicate. Keep that communication open. Keep it going. So what to do when time's going on, you communicate to him, he'll tell you what to do. But see, when you don't have communication, this is when everything starts breaking apart. So remember to pray constantly. Pray without ceasing. Now, how I pray when things are going bad or good, for me, I pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible tells us in Jude, chapter 1, verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit if you've got a problem. Now, some of you may not be able to speak in tongues. Tonight, we're going to ask the Lord to give you tongues and you can speak and follow after me worldwide, wherever you're at. Because you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to pray. This is why God gave us this language. Believers must defend and propagate the faith and resist false teaching. By building up yourself in your most holy faith in the New Testament is revealed by Christ and the apostles. This requires study of God's word and determined efforts to know the truth in his teaching of Scripture. By praying in the Spirit, we must pray by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, by looking to the Holy Spirit to inspire, guide, energize, sustain, and help us to do battle in our praying. Praying in the Spirit includes both praying with one's mind, Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or praying with one spirit. That's tongues. Now, some may say, oh, he didn't interpret that in the church. We're in a church building, and I interpret it. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, tongues in the church, the Bible says if one does that, that must be an interpreter. I don't want to go into that. I want to go into what to do when things is going wrong. So continue to pray in the Holy Ghost. By remaining in the sphere of God's love, this involves faithful obedience to God and his word, and longing, waiting to return of the Lord Jesus, and also to help you in your time of need. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, the devil really doesn't know what's going on, and he really doesn't like that. And that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So pray in the Holy Ghost. It edifies and strengthens you, and keep your mind off that light bill. Still do something about it. Try to get a job or whatever situation you're in, but go to God first and try to wait on him. And people don't do that. They don't do this when they have a problem. Some people don't speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, just pray, but you really need the gifts of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, follow after charity and rather desire spiritual gift, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understanding him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. See, when you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak in mysteries to edify yourself. That's why I say pray ye in the Holy Ghost. Now, if I was in the church and did that, someone would have to interpret it. So I'm just saying you can still speak in tongues by yourself to edify yourself, and I do that a lot. And look like you have to pray through, you get weak. Sometimes I get nauseated, I'll be so tired, and I got to pray through this. It's like I'm shaking. I can feel the forces of evil that's coming up against my prayer. And that's a lot on me. And I ask all of you to really pray for me. I need your prayers, and I really ask that you pray for me. So when we pray, it says, now, pray to interpret. That's only in church. I don't want to go into that. I want to get the Lord to say, keep going and go back to what I'm telling you about telling these my people what to do when things is going wrong. Pray in the Holy Ghost, and the next thing is to be still. You can pray in the Holy Ghost and be still. Now, I want all of us to turn to Psalms chapter 37, verse 1. Second thing to do when things are going wrong is let your request be made known unto the Lord. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. You have to cast the problem on him. Christians don't cast the problem. They don't wait. They just react. And you don't, that won't work doing that when you do that. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. God cares for the affection of every one of his children, and truly emphasized through his word that he cares for all of us, and he cares for all of our needs. We can see Psalms 27:10 to solidify that, Psalms 37:5, Psalms 40:14, Psalms 55:22, Matthew 6:25-34, Matthew 10:29-31, Matthew 11:28-30, Philippians 4:6. All fears, anxieties concerning must be given to God and laid on his altar so you can trust in him. When you lay it on the altar and don't meditate and harp on it and think it and figure it out, God can do something. But you got an adversary, and he's going to come into your mind. He's going to bring thoughts, as we say in Ezekiel 38, and you have to cast that down. And you have to meditate, and then you have to believe the Lord and pray against whatever you're dealing with. Ask God, Lord, reveal to me, what have I done wrong that put me on this? Or am I suffering for righteousness' sake, or am I suffering because of sin? And your sin will call you out. All of our sins will definitely call us out. Don't think that your sins won't call you out, because they will. So you make sure that you haven't done anything that that would allow that in your life. And I want all of you to turn to Numbers 32:23. But if ye will not do good, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, what to do when things are going wrong? If you're into some sin, things ain't going to go right until you repent from it. So make sure that you ask the Lord to forgive you. You've got yourself in this trouble. We all do. I put my hand up. Oh, every time some of us say, Lord, we ain't going to do it no more. We go back and done the same thing. I don't know what it is, but repent. Amen. And call upon the Lord. Go and sin no more. Repent. Repent so that that won't come on you. All right. Psalms 37:1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. You don't have to worry about the righteous. God got the righteous. What to do when things is going wrong? You wait on God. What to do when things is going wrong? You rest in God. What to do when things is going wrong? You cast your care upon him, for he cared for you. What to do when things are going wrong? You bind those thoughts that's going to have you to go do something sinful against the word of God to get your children some food or something. People are desperate and they'll do that. What you're going to do when things go wrong? You're going to pray in the Holy Ghost to build up yourself so that you can block the bombardments of what the devil's trying to tell you to do. What you going to do when you go wrong? What you going to do? What you going to do? You're going to trust God. That's what you're going to do when things are going on and going wrong in your life. And how should we do that? Let's look at it. Trust in the Lord and do good. See, why he say do good? Because some people trust in the Lord and then won't do good, go do something else to get what they got to get, because people get scared and people get anxious. And then when people are anxious and they don't have no form of patience at all, they're a prime target to get assassinated by demons. Do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land. Verily, thou shalt be fed. Now, watch this. If you connect this to the book of Proverbs 3:5, we have to be still. Remember I said be still. That was in Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that he's God. And then certain things you just can't do. You have to put it in his hand. Some of you Christians put it in his hand and you take it back. And you put it in and you take it back. I'm hearing some of you are praying and asking, Lord, there's a lot of you are doubting God. Hold up, I heard Romans 14:23. Hold on. Hang on. I just heard that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. 14. Oh, Lord have mercy. And he that doubted. If you doubt in God while something's going wrong, you don't doubt, you believe. Mark 9:23, all things are possible for him that believeth. And he that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if something's going wrong, if you don't have faith to believe God's going to turn around, you in sin with it. Don't do it. See how the devil can destroy you? Now go to Proverbs 3:5. God's trying to prevent that. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Now watch this now. And lean not unto thy own understanding. That's where everybody goes south. Our own understanding is limited, fleshly. It is subject to error. We must therefore be enlightened by God's word and his spirit. To lean on our own understanding rather than to trust God according to his word and spirit puts us in trouble being human. While it diminishes the spirit of Christ, it depends on human reasoning rather than the spirit of God. Pride and spiritualness and Satan can come in into your eyes and demonstrate nothing but wickedness, and which would be contrary to the knowledge of God, as we don't wait on God. Then he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. If we don't acknowledge God and say, God, I'm going to trust you, don't let the devil say, go out there and do it. Just look back at the testimonies that God has delivered you from. Has he ever left us? No. But the devil will paint a picture to you that will make you seem that he's going to abandon me. He said, I'll never leave you, nor should I forsake you. And you have faith in you that the prayer you say is that's going to help you get out of your situation. Now, make sure you line things up with God. Lord, forgive me if there's any sin in my life. What to do when things are going wrong? God may be trying to use that to show you something. Ezekiel 11:5 says that God knows everything in our mind. So if we call on him, he will reveal sin. He will reveal to you if it's you or not. And once he's able to do that, you got to wait. You got to shut down them thoughts. I'm not going to let this negative thought come to me. I'm waiting on the Lord. Satan, you shut up all that old crazy thing in your mind telling me to go to Palm Shop and go to Miss Lulibell and borrow $100. I got to pay $160 off $100. All kind of stuff going for people when they're hustling. Spirit of hustle get in the person, man, especially they're unsaved or saved. Them demons had them doing anything to get that money. And then you need to check yourself because it becomes idolatry. Go back to Psalm 37. It says, delight also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of thy heart. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something. Commit thy way unto the Lord. A lot of people can't do that. Let me show you why. Because you have a body, mind, and a soul, and a spirit. If you're soulish, you can't trust God. So if you don't have nothing in your spirit, you're going to be soulish. You're going to think soulish. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Then it says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and the judgment in the noonday. Now watch this. Rest in the Lord. Also look at Psalms 21:2. Rest in the Lord and wait, Psalms 27:14. Patiently upon him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret thyself in any wise to do evil. Now why would God tell us that? Because he don't want us to make a decision to go out there and do something that we don't want to do. Now, if we don't control our spirit man, we won't be able to do this. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Big Mike.
Yes, sir.
Pittsburgh Steelers, you're still a man with me tonight, Big Mike. You know I can slide that in. I'm a Steelers fan. All you people know I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Let the whole world know black and gold. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit. Now watch this. And soul. Now watch this. And body. When your soul got you worrying, and you see where it says spirit, you don't have nothing in your spirit. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I doubt if you'll be able to go through it. Because that soul going to pull you to go do something wrong. That soul going to have you to figure something out and you be the other way. So you got to crucify that flesh, and that's a lifetime. But you can submit the soul and push it under where the Spirit of God can communicate to your spirit. Deuteronomy 5:24, God does talk to man. So you really need to increase your spirit life. So when a situation has occurred, you are tuned up when you can communicate, but most people get caught off guard because they don't do these things every day. And you got to live this and do it. So your soul is going to bring opposition. Your soul is going to bring humanism. Your soul is going to bring inspiration. Your soul is going to bring helps or governmental means. Let me go get some food stamps and the Lord will bless me, you know, if I go and hook these food stamps. That's not God. Now, we have to develop our spirit in times of bad times. Yeah, what to do when things are going wrong? Yes, wait on God, but also establish something in you so you'll be able to deal with the onslaught of your problem. The spirit is part of human personality. This was directly inhabited by God and at creation. It is their capability of direct union and communication with the Creator. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, Paul says, "He who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him." It would not be correct to say one soul with him. Only one spirit is capable of direct union with God. You have to build your spirit up when things are going wrong. I sit there and read that word. If I was you, I wouldn't sit there allow anything to hinder me where I'm not able to hear God. Big Mike, give me John 4:23-24. Big Mike, give me John 4:23-24.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Now, if you're able to worship him in spirit and truth, when a problem comes, you won't have no problem because the Lord is going to be communicating to you. But some of you have to build yourself up. You may be not at that level, but he can do it. Give me John 6:63. John 6:63.
John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Now, that's how you get out of a situation. Does this make sense, Brother Mike, this teaching?
Yes, sir.
That's how you get out of a situation. Give me 2 Corinthians 3:6.
2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life.
And the spirit of Christ in you can direct you and carry you. If you're with the Lord, you're going to be okay. Sometimes when we suffer, God may be chasing us. We don't know. But ask God and wait on him. Don't get your soul to have you to be figuring stuff out and doing things that's contrary to the word of God. How did this soul start messing up with us with this? As a fall, a result of man's disobedience, his spirit was cut off from God. And at the same time, his soul began to express self independently of his spirit. The new disjointed relationship was both the consequences of the expression of man's rebellion against God. That's how we got like this. In 1 Corinthians 2:4-15, Paul says that the natural soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. On the other hand, he who is spiritual judges all things. It is obvious that the soulish and spiritual are in opposition to each other, such as Galatians 5:17 said that the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit, they're contrary one to another. The spiritual person is functioning according to God's will, with the soulless person is out of harmony with God. The soulless person seeks to apprehend spiritual truth in the realm of his soul, both unable to do so, and that spiritual person is united with God through his spirit, and this is able to receive spiritual revelation directly from God that will keep this individual from making mistakes from the flesh. Crucify your flesh, brothers and sisters. Wait on God. Don't make the wrong decision. Now, in part two on when things are going wrong, what to do, we're going to discuss the most effective way to to deal with a situation is that of fasting. We want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. You can listen to us 24 hours a day. We're at www.livedeliverance.com. You can listen to us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday on Blog Talk Radio. And we will also be on the air Tuesdays and Thursdays on livedeliverance.com on our live stream. We're there now, also on our YouTube. Please support us in our ministry. Sow a seed to keep us on air. We need your financial contributions. And continue to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. You can join us at 646-378-1857. Hit option one and come on in. God bless you, and I hope you had a wonderful evening tonight. Thank you so much. If it's the will of Yeshua tomorrow, I'll see if it's his will. Shalom. Brother Mike Dawson said give them something slow. They finish, go to the restroom and open up blinds.
All right.
You know all things, so I'll abide under your wings. Jesus, Jesus, you're my fountain where my life and thanks begin. Fullness of joy, I'm trying to find that secret place where I can hide. No sinful thoughts plaguing my mind, just you and I getting lost in time.
Catch you here. Bye bye bye.
Amen.
All right. Start this thing up, Big Mike. You assistant pastor, hit on it. What you think about that sermon?
Man, that teaching had me really thinking about some stuff, man. It's like you don't want to take that chance of getting outside of the will of the Lord. You know, even when things is, you know, going, you know, this way or that way, you don't want to take the chance of getting outside of the will of the Lord, you know. I was just thinking about, you know, family members, you know, when you was talking about, you know, about going to the pawn shop, this, that, and the other. I remember seeing, you know, family members, you know, they start panicking or they felt like that was their only route of escape, you know, was to do this or do that instead of, you know, taking it to the Lord and praying about it, you know. And it's just Satan will use anything and every opportunity he can to get to you, to attack you in the mind, to make you doubt and not believe God that he's going to come through on his promises, you know.
That's right.
And it's, folks, all I can say is this. If you're going to have faith in God, you know, bind every spirit of doubt and unbelief, you know, that may be trying to attack you. Fear, bind it, because the Lord, he just wants to know that you trust and obey him. He just wants to see that you're dependent on him and that you really do have faith in him. Don't give in to your thoughts. Don't give in to your emotions. Just put all your faith and trust in God, and he'll bring you through.
Yes, he will, because a lot of us are being pressed hard. The devil is trying to take a lot of us out. And I just want to say this here. And I want everybody to hear me. If anybody in this ministry of deliverance, the devil is targeting every one of you. You may not be on my level, but you're at some point where you're going to get attacked. And you're going to get attacked hard when you're on the front line, front or back. And we can't be making decisions based on our natural reason and our national minds. Okay, Brother Mike, that was very, very important. Okay, Dr. Stillman would like to ask commentary from Brother John. He said, hey, where's Brother John? Brother John, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
He says, I ain't never heard no sermon preached that way. It was always okay, but it just wasn't like how you hoop it and shake it up. Give me a comeback, please.
That's the kind of teaching I like, is just bringing it home, because your congregation there, because you got to remember, you got all kinds in that congregation. You got beginners, newborn babies in the Lord. You got old professionals. You got mid classes and everything else. And God want us to teach a sermon that, not just teach a sermon, but to teach the word where it's comprehensible and to meet the people where they are in their mindset, you know. And because I know when I first started, I used to try to be the big time thing. I look at my commentary and everything else, and use all the big words and that kind of stuff, and folks don't know what I'm saying half the time, trying to impress people with the vocabulary type thing. But he wants to just be humble and bring it down where they can really understand what we're saying so they can take it home. And so that's about all I can say about that. That's the way you're supposed to teach. That's what I love in teaching. Just be humble and just pretend as if you were just speaking to your children or to your wife or to your husband, whoever, you know, and they would understand and they can receive it, as opposed to just espousing on some big dissertation that, you know, we write. We don't supposed to do that. God wants us to just follow the Spirit and show the love of God, the strength of God, the caring of God towards us, and he wants us to know that. So just say it in a humble and a loving manner. We don't have to shout, scream, and none of these things. I think that's a beautiful method of I'm teaching the word.
Okay, I got another one from Bishop Carnell Wallace to Chaplain John Durden.
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop Carnell Wallace to Brother Michael. But Mike,
mm-hmm.
He says, I heard on your video you were educated. Am I correct? You have a master's, right?
Yes, sir.
And Brother Durden, you have a master's, right?
Yeah, I have 3 masters.
And Brother Emmett don't have nothing, right?
It don't matter what he has or what he doesn't have.
No, sir. I don't have a master's. He says, I'm getting to the point that there's no way a man of that caliber with that little education can write a sermon. Brother Mike, you're doing a good job writing a sermon in dirt, and I put together in my mind that both of y'all are doing this. Please make me come back to end this conversation, please.
Okay, what is happening? You remember we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when God came down in the person of Jesus Christ, he looked for some men, for some apostles and disciples that he can teach before he returned back to his heavenly throne. And what did he do? He didn't go to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He went to Matthew, Mark, Luke. Some of them, you know, were fishermen, and some were just tax collectors. So God select men according to their spirit towards him, their godly attitudes. He looks at our heart. He looks at our spirit. He does not look at the education. That's God. He look at all the prophets in the Bible. He spoke to those prophets. Those prophets were not big-time college professors or doctors or university this and university that. He know how to select men to do his purpose. He looks at our heart. He looks at our spirit. And that's what he's looking at. So don't think that because you got 30 degrees and everything else, I mean, that's good to be educated. You can teach your congregation, you know, more so. But God says, I want this man. How he selects him is his. I won't question him. If he selects Matthew, Mark, and Luke and them, I say, okay, God, you know what you're doing. And Matthew. So he had a calling. It's like, well, I finalize it this way. Jeremiah 29:11 says, don't you know I have a purpose and a plan for your life, a plan not a calamity, problems, but a plan to give you a future and a hope. So he has a purpose for each one of us. And just like he had a purpose for Matthew, Mark, you know, and John and Andrew and them, he had a plan for Brother Emmett, and that is to teach his word. He says, I want my pulpit back. And that's his primary purpose, to teach the word of God and to touch these ministers, not all, just the ministers who are not right, that they would change in their ways and change in their thoughts about the Lord, who he is and what he stands for. And so, you know, none of us I'm teaching, not give him anything. He's hearing. He's repeating what he's hearing from the Lord and the Holy Spirit, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke. They didn't have no New Testament. When they were teaching, going out to the world to teach the gospel, they didn't have no manuscript or script with them. They just taught according to the what? Leading of the Holy Spirit and the leading of Jesus Christ. And so that's what, when you hear him teach, that's not me, that's not Mike. That's, he's being led by the Holy Spirit in some teaching, and he's being led by the Lord Jesus in some other teachings. That's where it's come from. Everything you heard tonight, you didn't have nothing written down. And I sure didn't have anything written down. I'm way over here in Atlanta, Georgia. He's over there in his little county over there. So he's only repeating what the Lord told him to say. God bless you for asking that question.
We have another one calling in from Canada, Alberta, Canada. His name is Mr. John Wilmans or Brother John Durden. Brother Durden, your friend,
yes.
I can't compare him, but he sure teaches like Derek Prince. Could you please bring me come back?
I'm glad you asked that question. I remember when we first got together about 10, 12 years ago, he rededicated his life to the Lord. And then he used to come over to the hospital and visit me. We'd be sitting down there just chit-chatting. Then all of a sudden, one day he said, the Lord came up and says, my name is Jesus of Nazareth, my son. I will teach you. And God wasn't lying. Jesus taught him everything he knows. It's fantastic just to look at, because sometime when he's teaching, I'll go over to his house just to observe, you know. And he'd be teaching. Sometime we'd be talking. Like, say the service started at 9. We'd be sitting there talking to about 5 minutes at 9. I'd say, what you going to teach on? I don't know, Brother John. That tickled me. You know, I don't know, Brother John. I said, man, you only got 5 more minutes. I know, Brother John. Then all of a sudden, he go, wow. I go, what happened? He said, he just gave me the scripture. So God would give him the script. That's how come he could shout out 20, 30 scriptures in 2 or 3 minutes. He's just repeating what the Holy Spirit tells. He didn't memorize all that stuff. And half the time when he get through teaching, he don't even know what he taught, because it all came from the Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit have mercy on him and bring to his remembrance what he taught on. But the majority of times when he teaches us, when you get through, I say, that was a good lesson. He go, what did I say? It tickled me, you know, because he's just repeating what the Holy Spirit is telling him. So that's what it's all about.
All right, one more question from John Stittman from Toronto, Canada. He said, I've enjoyed the show with Brother Emmett. He's teaching so simple. I was amazed to see how he was able to stick on the mind He broke it down, A, B, C, so simple. And yes, the young man definitely reminds me of Derek Prince. He's very humble. We love his radio station.
Amen, amen.
Okay, this is from R.D. Kigman, Baptist pastor from Wilmore, Alabama, wants to speak to John Durden. That was a good sermon. And, what's your opinion?
Oh, well, my opinion? That was that was excellent, because that wasn't something he made up or something he sat behind the desk for several 20, 30, 40 hours to develop that teaching. What he was doing, like I just said, I never seen nothing like this before, y'all. He's repeating what the Holy Spirit is telling him to say. It's like you have some earphones in your ear, you know, and you're, good evening, everybody, and somebody's speaking to you through the earphones, and you're hearing everything. He says, say this now, say that, say this. God loves you. God loves you. You know, blah, 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 blah. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only. That he gave his only begotten son, begotten son. So it's like having spiritual earphones, but God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to his spirit. And the spirit is picking it up. And he, and so help me God, man, he just strike me down dead if I'm lying. What he's doing is just repeating what the Holy Spirit told him to say. That is mighty. But that's his calling. God selected him. God didn't care about his not going to college or going to seminary. God knows his heart, and God knows his spirit, you know. And so God say, I will teach you. God teaching him personally. You don't have to go to seminary. God is teaching every night for the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you heard it. He ain't write nothing. He just walked up into the pulpit, and God said, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. And God said, okay, let's go. And, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus sometimes, be telling him what to say. I said, come, so beautiful. He took me to me, John, huh? He come to me, Brother John, go ahead. How did it go? Did it sound all right? Any criticism? You know what I say? I said, Negro, you have me cut you out. Hey, listen, I can't find out wrong what you're saying because you ain't saying it. It's the Holy Spirit telling you what to say. He said, well, I think you said the wrong thing there. I think you took this out of context. No, Lord. I ain't going to have the Lord slap me down because I know he hadn't been to the seminary. The only way he could teach that stuff is to follow the leading of the Lord, man. That's what he's doing. He's following the leading of the Lord. God bless you for asking that question.
And we didn't get it on air. We had a technical problem. Wait a minute. Okay. Open up the next mic, Mike. I'm doing a technical situation. Go ahead and do it. You do what you got to do, Big Mike. Open up next line. I'm working on something.
Area code 814.
Hello. Great message, as always. I have a question. It seems like there's a lot of people calling in or emailing, you know, and it seems like they're doctors, very well educated, and they're always trying to, you know, ask hard questions or be a little rude. And I was wondering, you know, why are they so interested? I mean, something must be happening. Maybe somebody's bragging about this ministry to them, and they're trying to block it before maybe any of their rich members decide to catch wind of it. I mean, there has to be a reason. Otherwise, they wouldn't be spending so much time trying to, you know, downgrade what God is lifting up.
I can answer that question. Can I answer, Brother Mike?
Yes, sir.
What's happening is the Lord is getting his church back. And these pastors are not really pastors. They're educated. They're religious. And people are listening to them on my radio station. And people are saying, we're learning more from you. And then they're going back to him and saying, hey, we need you to start teaching us about casting out demons. Who told you that? And then this is how it happens. And they email. And they come and they call in and they don't always. Brother Mike, explain them how they call in.
They how they actually contacting us is what we call from outside in, meaning that they're actually listening to the broadcast without actually calling into the board. because of the fact that you can actually go to Blog Talk itself or go to livedeliverance.com and listen to the broadcast there, but you don't necessarily have to actually call into the station to actually be heard. So that's how they're actually doing it. They're emailing Brother Emmett because we do put the email out there, or they're communicating through chat, you know, but they're listening to the teaching without actually being inside on the call lines.
Okay, I get it. Now, because I was wondering about that, because it seems like they always articulate their email, but I was wondering why they never called in, and my guess, I think it's obvious that if their members are listening and they can't answer the questions that you give them, then that's just going to lower them in the eyes of their members, and it'll be available for download. Maybe their members will share it back and forth.
Yeah.
So I think that would be great if not to say that we should make war and, you know, against each other, but, you know, if you're going to say something, I can't come up with the scripture right now, but are there scriptures about, you know, when you're bringing an accusation against somebody, don't they have the right to respond, or there needs to be some kind of a dialogue, you know, like when you take somebody before a judge? I don't have it right now, but, you know, there's a, you know, you can't just send an email in, you know, and not be questioned back. You know, you have to, you know, answer. They have to answer both ways, and obviously they're not doing that. So
it's a spirit. I recognize it's a spirit in them, and I don't let it upset me because God is dealing with them. And I get people who call me and join this radio ministry because they're not being taught. And I thank the Lord. I'm nothing like Derek Prince, but I love him so much where God has told me to teach it simple. And I guess that's a threat to them. I met a pastor today, called himself a pastor, and I got through speaking. He didn't say one word to me. He looked at me, and the other guy was carrying my wife's car to get fixed. Yeah, this is a pastor. Hey, brother, you know, look at me. What church you got? I said, and the Holy Spirit said, tell him you cast. I said, I cast out demons. And I believe in casting out demons. I believe in laying hands on the sick, breaking generational curses, holiness, sanctification, righteousness. I believe in nine gifts of the Spirit. And I don't recognize Sunday as a way of worship. Jesus' mark is the Lord of Sabbath, Mark 2:28. He looked at me and went the other way so fast. So you got a lot of them out here like that. And let me say something. The Spirit of God is moving on me to say this. A lot of people attack me when I defend the Sabbath. Some of you people need to really learn what the Sabbath is and rest in it. You're getting a lot of anointing on the Sabbath, and a lot of things can happen to your life if you rest on it. And God is telling me, y'all just go and don't even pay no attention. Oh, it's summer. We can still worship Jesus. God is mad at that. I used to be go to church on Sundays. God told me that he stopped me from doing that. He said, you want my anointing, you're going to do it my way. And for the past 10 years, I have never had an ad in the paper about Live Deliverance. We've never been on TV. We never put out one leaflet. I have never printed out a leaflet and put it on nobody's car to get you people to hear me. God sends you in. The Sabbath is a holy day of concentration. Learn it. And give God an opportunity to express his love for you on that day of rest. When you rest, there's a lot of things that you can get strengthened within yourself on the Sabbath. It's a very spiritual day. And at least Americans over here don't understand it. But to answer your question, brother, these pastors are being convicted. The church members call us, and they listen. We get a lot of listeners worldwide. And a lot of you don't realize we have a lot of listeners on livedeliverance.com. And I'm teaching through Live Deliverance now to increase our audience. Blog Talk is a format to get people to Live Deliverance. And we have pastors all over the world call us. We have good reports, bad reports. And, you know, God is showing me that there's a struggle in the world and for people and souls. And it's increasing. 845. Let me go ahead and trade him. 845. Oh, did that answer your question, brother? I'm sorry. 814, did that bless you?
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, yes, sir, thank you. 845.
How's it going, Brother Emmett?
I got the letters. Let me read it to you. Where's Big Mike? Big Mike?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Mike.
Read it nice and clearly.
Big Mike.
Two-way trade.
845 said, I went to see Big Mike and flew personally at his house to write this letter. And I have a love. I keep seeing as I wake up in the morning, I turn over, I see Cincinnati Bengals, and I kept seeing a Bengals sign and another Bengals sign and another Bengals sign. So I moved my heart to Cincinnati Bengals, me and Big Mike. We are now Cincinnati Bengals fan. Go Bengals.
Go Bengals.
Go Bengals. I'm still a fan. Pittsburgh Steelers. Getting time for football. Amen. Hey, 4-5, give me a word. What'd you get out there tonight? Tell me something good. Did you learn something tonight?
Brother, like, as always, brother, we just got to put our trust in Jesus Christ. And as the word says, acknowledge him in all our ways. Really, really do.
Can
and
I tell y'all something?
Oh, my, brother.
I'm going to tell y'all something. Anybody got a Bible? Brother Mike, go to Zechariah 14. Let me tell y'all something. And God showed this to me. It's very frightening. Amen. And this is going to happen to the United States. Watch this. Zechariah 14.
Okay. What verse?
Verse 1.
Excuse me. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city.
Go back and read that real slow, Mike, Zechariah 14:1, very slow.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee.
Okay.
For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled.
All nations. All, that's what I want to say. All nations against Jerusalem, including the United States. And some of you Christians that's on this bandwagon with Trump, stay out of politics. The Lord has said me to tell y'all again, stay out of it. You don't know anything of what's going to happen unless you know come through this Bible. Now, Israel is going to get attacked by all these nations. And let me show you what's going to happen. Keep going, Brother Mike.
And the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the battle in the day of the battle. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before
right
Jerusalem
there.
On the east.
Now, right there when Jesus is going to come back on the Mount of Olives. It's getting close. It's getting real close, man. There's only four more scriptures need to be complete before Christ comes here. Four more.
Wow.
Time's running out, man. Keep going, Big Mike.
Which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall
be
one day.
It's going to be bad, Mike. Now, that's all nations attacking Israel. Now, isn't Donald Trump liking Russia so much?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The day the United States attack Israel is over here. We through. But Christians, that's why God is telling me to tell y'all, stop being involved with politics. People are calling me, who do I need to vote for? Don't come calling me with that. You got a legal right to go vote. Ask the Lord. Don't tell me, I got people calling me, we want to get you on as sponsors with this church to speak on this behalf of this person. I don't get in that. And that's not going to bring anything but problems. We got to keep our focus on Christ. Okay, I got another one from Reverend Mumphrey's email from Reverend Mumphrey's to Pastor John Durden.
I'm listening.
Who's Gun Gangster?
Gun Gangster is my daughter.
And what affiliation she had with this church? I'm Reverend Mumphrey. I'm checking. I'm monitoring.
She's Brother Emmett's assistant.
And who ordained that deal? You or what?
I had Brother Emmett to ordain her. But he did that under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. It caught us all by surprise. We just mind our own business. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he says, my son, I want you to ordain Sister Candace. And I want her, I'm ordaining her for the deliverance ministry. And I couldn't believe it myself, brother, but that girl know that deliverance inside out. She know those demons. Those demons are afraid. Man, she just soak it up. God just soak her spirit up with deliverance ministry information. I mean, she's like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to that stuff. She knows that stuff. Man, she can walk circles around me when it comes to God. That's her specialty. God has personally taught her about the deliverance ministry, about those demons, how to cast them out, how to recognize who they are, and the difference of power each one of them have. She knows all that stuff, man. She was personally anointed by Jesus.
And that was another question he wanted to ask you?
Yeah.
I read the Hank Hanegraaff Bible, and I also read the Charles Stanley Bible. Please give me a comment, please.
Charles Stanley used to be Pentecostal, and for some reason, I don't know, for recognition or whatever, he switched over after, you know, when he got to be an adult and switch over to the Baptist church, and there he got to be president of the Southern Baptist Association. So a lot of us think he did that so he'd get the prestige and the status, you know, and the power to go along with that job. With respect to, and he renounced tongues and everything now. I mean, the boy was raised up in a Pentecostal church, speaking tongues and everything else. He get up and be in his 20s and all of a sudden, I don't believe in it no more. You just don't get rid of it. That's like saying, I don't believe in Jesus no more. He believed in Jesus, but he have cast aside the gifts of the Holy Spirit so he can be in harmony with his fellow Baptist friends and ministers. That's what that's all about. What's his other name? Hank Hanegraaff. Hank Hanegraaff, if you buy one of his Bibles, you see where he have taken out for his career. One thing he would say to him, well, this doesn't exist anymore, kind of a thing. And I go, you know, and that's pitiful because Revelation says if you add or take away from his word, you're going to be in trouble with him. So I don't believe in that no more. That's so on. I say, okay, Mr. Big Time, Mr. Scholar, I don't care if you got 4, 5, 10, 12,000 members, but he's going to have to respond to God about that, man. You know, you don't take out, you tell me, I don't believe in that. I don't. Just because you don't believe in it, don't make it untrue.
He has another question for you.
Okay.
Brother John, you remember you told me to take this down. I took it down, but he heard it before I took it down. Okay.
Took what down?
Polk. He said, What is your relationship with Polk? I'm Dr. Who is it? Polk. He said, I heard you say some negative things about a Baptist pastor. I'm a Baptist pastor. What was your relationship with him? Why did you say things negative to him, please?
Well, it was good. I mean, you don't want me to say this about the man in front of everybody, man. You know, when I was a head deacon at my Baptist church, he came. I forgot what city he came from and what state, but we selected him. We had about 12 ministers to come to our church to do trial sermon, and we selected him. And then, I don't want to be saying, I'm just going to tell you that. I'll tell you in a shortcut. When the closer you get to some pastors, not all, you get to see their spirits, their walk, their talk, you know, this kind of a thing. And when I got to be the head deacon of it, deacon of the board there, I was able to get closer to him more than anybody else, okay? And I loved the man. And then, and because of my close associations, I saw some stuff that it just pierced my heart, and I decided to leave because I knew a lot of things that the church members didn't know what he was doing. It's the ones who's closer to the pastor is the one who get to know the heart and the spirit of the pastor. Church members don't hardly get to know him. Oh, good morning, Pastor. I enjoyed the service. I enjoyed the sermon. Thank you, Charles. Thank you. You know, that kind of a thing. But his circle, his inner circle, is the one that know him more so than a regular church member who comes in on Sundays. And then by me being head of the deacon board, I got to see a lot of stuff that I didn't like, so I left.
And why you left? You left the pillar. You left the foundation of the church. You left the pillar, and you left your pillar hood.
You got to remember this, sir. I don't believe in no pillar. A pillar is someone who is in charge of the church, functioning to care for the congregation and everything else. And when I saw the things he did, he was no more pillar to me. And right now, I'm not a pillar. I'm just a servant of the Most High God. Yeah, I'm past that, man. I'm 77 years old.
Says,
I don't care about being a pillar, the boss
says,
man, or the president. All I want to do is just please God. That's all, okay? So don't throw that at me. That don't mean anything to me, you know? It doesn't.
Okay.
I'm just
a child
of God. That's all I am. I care less about all these degrees and everything. I found out when I got all those degrees, it didn't mean nothing to me. It's having a personal relationship with the Lord and living for him. Man, I know a lot of folks that got all these degrees, and I'm surprised at some of the things I find out what they're doing. Because sometimes I'm going to shut up.
Okay, you got another question.
I don't want to be a pillar. I'm just a servant of the Most High God. Okay, let's leave
next one, he says, these are my favorite pastors. I love Juanita Bynum. I love T.T. Jakes. I love who? Creflo Dollar. I love them. And y'all don't like to talk about them. Give me comments. Big Mike. I heard Big Mike could say, Jesus. Ooh, somebody get this man, tell this brother. Big Mike, you can do it, Brother John. Either one of y'all, somebody.
Oh, I said enough. John. Give this one up to Mike.
Go ahead, Brother Mike.
Oh, man. Brother. I mean, there's nothing wrong with liking who you like, but at the same time, their message and their beliefs and their doctrine don't line up to the word. I mean, you might want to question and see if they're not teaching, you know, or how to teaching people how to cast out demons, do deliverance, you know, heal sick, raise the dead, this, that, and the other. You might want to question it because those are the things that Jesus did. So if you don't see that happening through these ministers or so-called ministers, you might want to double check and make sure that you're following and liking the right people. Yeah, put it like that.
Okay. Brother John, he says he will be at Dr. Wallace tonight, and he's the one who's going to open up ceremonies for the exorcism tonight. That you've been welcome to listen to me, and you can listen at the church live, that he will cast out demons with his written word. That's tonight.
Thanks for inviting me. I'll be right there, right on time.
He said, yeah, I heard about the polls and stuff, but
That's not an issue for everybody here all over the country. And I'll be there.
He said, I'll see you there tonight. He said, yes, don't forget them, Brother John.
I'll be there. Again, thanks for inviting me.
Okay, it's time to close. Big Mike, Brother John, y'all got to meet me on Skype. I need you, Brother John, to help me with a deliverance with Brother Mike. We don't have gun games. I got a person overseas. Close it out. I need Big Mike, Brother John on YouTube. Oh, Lord, hammer it. Wait a minute. One more, Reverend Simmore. Brother John, what do you think about Reverend who? Reverend Sun Yung Moon.
He got
Reverend,
moves,
I don't
said,
even know who that is.
Chinese Japanese guy. He got people thinking that he's God. He has elevated himself sort of like a God-like minister. Yeah.
One more to this other guy, to Brother Mike. Brother Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Can y'all bastard people, we like. I like Juanita Bynum, and I love Dollar and Reverend Theroy Thompson. Money coming. Why don't y'all preach money coming?
Because money cometh ain't going to get you salvation. Money cometh only going to get you your carnal desires and all that fulfilled right now, and that ain't the kingdom. So I don't know where y'all get this money cometh or why y'all follow this garbage doctrine, but I hate
she
to say, but that's what it
from
is.
Reverend Leroy Thompson.
God knows it's garbage now, for real. You got a man dancing on money on an altar? Come on now.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of Reverend Leroy Thompson. I want everybody to go to YouTube and pull up Reverend Leroy Thompson, the most wickedest preacher on this earth. Wicked. No spirit of God in him, just money. And what's the root of all evil?
The love of money is the root of all.
Close us out, Big Mike. We got to do an exorcism.
Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, we come before you, Father, and Father, I ask that you would extend more grace and more mercy upon us, Father. Forgive us of our shortcomings, Father. Forgive us of our iniquities, Father. Father, we ask, Father, that we, Father, are doing the right thing, Father, in your sight, Father, as we try to do the right things when things are not going right for us, Father. That's the message went forth tonight, Father. We ask, Father, that you would just continue, Father, to lead us in the right directions, Father, as we humble ourselves, Father, and give ourselves over unto you, Father. These are all things we ask, Father, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Bless those that are out there listening, and bless each and every member here, and bless all the ministers here listening as well. Amen and hallelujah.
If anyone makes sure that to keep our support and prayer and sow a seed to this ministry, we need finances, and the enemy definitely comes up to try to block that. I'm not talking to the cyber members of people who contribute, but if this ministry has been a help to you, $5, $10, the Bible says despise not small things, and we don't preach prosperity. We just pray to God, move on your heart to give. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Big Mike, Brother John, I need you guys in YouTube, in Skype.
Gotcha. All right.
Okay.